Hope everyone's doing great, had a great Christmas. And remember, we only have a few more days. Wednesday night is the last night for the Christmas lights. So, you know, I know we all come to campus, we all see it, but sometimes we don't actually walk through the park and those kind of things. So you have a few more days to do that. So you might want to make sure you've experienced Christmas at Rama. Well, this happens to be, like I said, the last Sunday of 2024. And normally every year I kind of have my beginning of the year message. You know, a lot of people like to try to rhyme, you know, with the new year, you know, like it's great to be alive in 2025 or something like I'm going to strive in 2025, or maybe one of these things like I'm going to take a nosedive in 2025 or, you know, something like that. Of course, I always say, you know, your year is what you make of it. It doesn't matter, you know. So many people, like, if you show up January the 2nd, 2025, to any gym, in, you know, anywhere in America, you're going to see lots of people. On January 10th, some of those same people will be there. By February the 2nd, 10% of the people who were there on January the 2nd will be there. Because only a few people decide to really change different things. Now, speaking of change, that actually, the words whenever I was praying, the word I got for 2025 is changes. Now, what does that mean? I don't know. One thing is we're fixing to change a year, you know, change seasons. But you know what? We need, I mean, change is necessary. You know, change is good. Change is not always easy. You know, many things in life that we were so used to having have changed. Remember when the great invention was invented, the VCR? Remember, I mean, you know, I used to record programs and all kinds of things on my VCR. Remember cassette tape? You know, those were all things. And the CD replaced it. Now, you know, then we got DVDs. Now, one thing that I used to, if you know anything, my parents, you know, obviously, they have a lot of stuff. And I ask them what they want for Christmas. They say puzzles. And I'm like, I know it's puzzling, but, you know, that's the only thing that they really do is puzzles. And so, but used to, I would, they also, you know, they don't really go to movies, but they watch movies. So I used to buy them DVDs. But now they have, they stream everything, so they don't need DVDs. So, you know, we have other things like that. So things change. You know, there were companies that were huge companies that are no longer in existence today because they didn't change. Remember Kodak? Every camera you had was a Kodak camera, Kodak film. Kodak went bankrupt. Another film company, Polaroid, also went bankrupt. I mean, you know, if you just Google companies that no longer, of course, Blockbuster went bankrupt. Compaq computers were the first computers that they took to IBM, and their IBM clones, they're no longer in existence today. You know, remember you used to have a thing called a record store at your mall? But most malls had like three record stores. And then they became, you know, CD, DVD stores, you know, and now they're no longer in existence. So you know what? Today we're going to talk about the challenge and necessity of change. All right? Change is constant life, but it's not always easy. As humans, we often resist change because it disrupts our comfort zones and challenges our routines. However, the Bible is filled with stories and teachings that remind us that change, while difficult, is both necessary and good when it aligns with God's will. Today, we'll explore the difficulty of change, the necessity of change, and how God equips us to embrace transformation. You know, like I said, point number one, change is difficult but possible. The scripture reminds us that change is often uncomfortable and requires effort. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, "For everything there is a season and a time for every activity under heaven." You know, there is a season and time for different things. Like I said, think about things. Remember when you used to have to pay for long distance? Remember when you didn't carry a phone? Now, some of you that are younger don't remember any of those things. You know, or remember the thing called the payphone? If you want to see one, there's one out in the lobby out there. It doesn't work anymore, but it's sitting out there because the phone company doesn't want to take it off the wall because then they have to fix our wall. So anyway. All right. But anyway, this verse reminds us that life is filled with seasons. Some seasons are joyful. Others are challenging. But each one requires us to adapt and grow. You know, sometimes you go through a season that might be a rough patch, but you know what? God's always with you, no matter what your season brings. All right. Hebrews 12:1 says, no discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful, but afterwards there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. Change often feels like discipline. It stretches us. It pushes us beyond our limits. But God uses these moments of discomfort to shape our character and prepare us for greater things. Once again, the workout example, you know, it's not easy to work out. It's not easy to get up early. It's not easy, you know, to eat right and do what you need to do. But it sure feels nice when you get to buy new clothes that's a lot smaller than your old clothes. You know, that's a great feeling. It's expensive, but it's also a great feeling. But thank God you have a mom that feels sorry for you and buys some of your clothes. Anyway, you know, another illustration, a seed, it must change. You know, if it stays a seed, it's never going to be a tree. All right, but a seed breaks open and grows before it can become a tree. The same is true for us. Growth requires change, even when it feels like it's a breaking apart. You know, God is with us during the process of change. One of the most comforting truths about change is that we do not face it alone. God is with us every step of the way, guiding and empowering us. You know, the Bible says he will never leave us nor forsake us. God is always with you. Even whenever you feel you're all by yourself, you're never all by yourself. God's always with you. During the good seasons, during the bad seasons. You know, during the times you're jumping up and down, and the times that you just feel like, you know, hiding and crying, God's still with you. All the time. You know, and he has plans for you, and he wants to make sure you fulfill those plans. Isaiah 41:10 says, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. God's always there to hold our hand during every situation, whether it feels uncomfortable, whether it feels lonely, whether, I mean, you know, there's so many times that you feel helpless. But you know what? You're never helpless because God's always there to help you each and every time. Even when change feels overwhelming, God promises his presence and strength at all times. Of course, Philippians 4:13 says this. I'm reading from the New Living. It says this, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me the strength. No matter how difficult the change, we can endure and overcome it through Christ's power. You know what? Christ will help us do it. Whatever needs to be done. This happens to be my mom's favorite scripture. And this is why you cannot ever tell my mom that you can't do it. It can't be done. All right. We told mom that globe could not happen. We actually researched it. We called everyone. We figured that maybe Disney, maybe Universal, maybe, you know, Six Flags, somebody probably has some kind of globe that comes down and lights up and spins around. And so we can help us. No, couldn't find it. So I remember sitting in mom's office saying, you know, I didn't want to tell them we can't do it. So what I said is, we can do it, but it might be expensive. But it's there. It wasn't cheap. And it took we designed it here on campus. And I mean, it's, as far as we know, it's the only one of its kind that does what it does when it works. And it's nothing to do with the globe. It's just the electronics in 1992, and electronics today are a lot different. So sometimes it's a little finicky, all right? And so but we can always do what we need to do with Christ's help. You know, another illustration, remember when Peter stepped out of the boat when he came to Jesus? When Peter stepped out of the boat to walk on the water, he had to embrace change. You know, it's not easy. That first step had to be a doozy. I mean, you think about it. Step out of the boat into water. All right. You know, leaving the safety of the boat and trusting Jesus completely. You know, of course, you can find that in Matthew 14. It says, though he faltered eventually, Jesus was there to catch him and help him continue. You know, sometimes we just have to step out of the boat and just trust the Lord that he's going to take care of us no matter how bad and how rough the ocean looks. You know, sometimes it's not easy to step out of the boat. It's not easy to make that change. But you know what? He's there with us. I mean, Jesus was right there with Peter the whole time. He was right there. All he had to do was look at him. He said, now, unfortunately, we can't see him in person, but he's with us at all times. We should know he's with us. You know, if we know we're saved, if you ask people, I guarantee you, you know, probably almost 100% of the people here in this church are saved. You know Jesus is with you. So why don't we trust him? Can we trust him to walk on water if we need to? It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter if it's easy or not, because with Jesus, everything is easy. Amen. You know, embracing change also brings blessings. When we submit to God's leading and embrace change, he brings about blessings and growth we could never achieve on our own. Jeremiah 29:11, most of you know this. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a hope, a future, and a hope. You know, God knows the plans he has for us. Now, he doesn't always reveal those plans at one time to us, because sometimes if he were to reveal those plans, you would think, there's no way I could do that. But the deal is, it's not you doing anything. It's you letting God work through your life to accomplish the plan he has for you. It's not whether you can do it or not. Think about that movie. You can do it. Anyway, sorry. I think about things when I preach, when I say certain things. Sometimes I speak them out. Sometimes I don't. But I mean, it's not whether you can do it. And that's the thing. You have to get rid of the I can or I can't mentality and think about that we can. Because, you know, God and me... Or me and God, I'm not sure which one's correct English, so it doesn't really matter. Us together, we can accomplish anything that he's accomplished. And he has plans for you. And as long as you follow, you know, his plans, you're going to make it. You're going to get through the situation. But sometimes to follow his plans, you know, is a change. Now, there are a number of folks in this room that are not from the Tulsa, Broken Arrow area. You made a change in life and you came here to Broken Arrow, Oklahoma to go to Bible school. Some of you are in school now. Some of you have been here for 20 years after you graduated. Even though the first day you showed up, you said, man, I would never live in a place like this. In the middle of nowhere. There's no mountains. There's no beaches. There's no ocean. We have tornadoes. And you're still here. You know, Tulsa's not that bad of an area to live in. It is the middle of the country, you know, and we are pretty nice people here. But you know, it was a change. You know, especially some of you who came from places where you had mountains, you know, or you had oceans. It's just like one time I was scuba diving. You know, I do scuba dive, by the way. Haven't been in a long time, actually. We were doing a wreck dive, 128 feet below the ocean in Honolulu, Hawaii. And so I was with this guy. I think his name was Steve. They pair you up in pairs, and Steve was older. Steve actually dove in Nam. That's all right. And so Steve and I, you know, I didn't really meet Steve until they paired up. Okay, you two, you're together. You go. So we come back up, and Steve goes, man, how long you been diving? I said, well, like 5 years, but you got to understand, I live in Oklahoma. 5 years means like seven times. Steve told me, he goes, you're one of the safest divers I've ever dove with. Well, the reason is because Steve is old. We're 128 feet below the surface of the water. He was kind of slow. So I kept checking on him because as a diver, I'm responsible for Steve, and if he drowns, it's my fault. So I was a safe diver. I wanted to make sure Steve was okay, and Steve made it back to the top because I didn't get in trouble. But anyway, you know, We live in a place that maybe whenever you first move here, you thought you would never be here, but you're still here. And there's going to be times that God moves us to a place, whether it's physically moves us, whether it's a job change, whether it's a life change or whatever, that might seem uncomfortable and seem like, man, there's no way I would do that. But you know what? It's just following God's plan. You know, I know Dad talks about it all the time. You know, he doesn't know why he had to go to the Army when he was in college or whatever. But he says that the training he got when he was in the Army helped him, for today. Even whenever he moved here to this ministry, he didn't move here to be a minister. He moved here to help my grandfather do crusades. He was a crusade director. He would set them up. He'd make announcements. He would do, you know, all of those kind of things. Not preaching, you know. It looked like it was not going to be, you know, what he felt God had for him. But you know what? God had other plans. He wasn't going to be a crusade director for the rest of his life. All right? You know, but, you know, whenever things change, you know, don't think, well, I must have screwed up because this is not the path I need to take. You know what? God has you. God's going to get you through those situations. Galatians 6:9 says this. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. If we don't give up. See, you always win if you don't give up, because you're always victorious through Christ Jesus. But sometimes in life, it'll seem like you don't have the victory. It'll seem like that you're being defeated. But if you keep trusting God and you don't give up, you're going to make it. You're going to get through this season in life. You know, was it a good season or a bad season? You know what? It doesn't matter, because in this season, you know, well, we just experienced the reason for the season. That's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to this earth so that we can have life and have it more abundantly. And we're going to get through this season, and we're going to move forward if we embrace the change. You know, persevering through change allows us to experience the harvest God has promised. You know, you don't reap the harvest every day. And some people, you know, I think this generation, when they graduate from college, they want to be on the same level that their parents are, you know, after spending 40 years or 50 years. You know, you're not going to reap that immediately. You know, we talk about my grandfather. My grandfather talked about whenever he got married to my grandmother, said he had 10 cents to his name. He had a dime. He said they went and bought two candy bars. At that time, candy bars were a nickel apiece, you know. And so he said, we started out on a journey with nothing. But God blessed him. God blessed him. You know, there are going to be some times when you feel like you don't have anything. But God has a plan and he has a purpose. And you're going to make it if you just hold on. You will reap the harvest one day. All right? You know. But it's just like if a farmer plants some seeds, you know, and then they do what's necessary to till the ground and do all that kind of stuff, and then they're like, you know what, I don't think it's going to work, and they just quit, it's never going to reap a harvest. But a farmer has to be diligent to do what's necessary, and ultimately, you know, the harvest does come. And when that harvest does come, it can be an awesome experience. And we talked about that, celebrating Thanksgiving. That was the whole celebration of Thanksgiving, the very first Thanksgiving. They were thanking God for the harvest that they got after planting their seed. I mean, you know, another illustration is Paul's transformation. Think about this. He was once a persecutor of Christians. He embraced a radical change after encountering Jesus. Through that change, Paul became one of the greatest apostles, spreading the gospel to countless people. I mean, you realize, I mean, think about, it doesn't matter what you did in your past life, or it doesn't matter, you know, what you used to be. God has a plan. Paul used to be not a good guy, but the words that he penned, that we speak, we read them and speak them and claim them over our life on a daily basis. And this guy used to not be a good guy. He used to not be for God. But you know what? God can change you. God can make you, different. How do we embrace change? Well, number one, we pray for guidance. We seek God's wisdom and direction through prayer. We probably all know the scripture. James 1:5 says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. You know, that scripture is pretty important. Now, realizing if you need anything, all you have to do is ask our generous God. All right? But a lot of times people, they'll say stuff like, I don't know what to do. Well, if you don't know what to do, ask God. All right? It's a scripture that we should all know. If I need wisdom, ask him for wisdom. Or I don't understand. This is something that I would think about a lot whenever I was going to school. There are sometimes you're trying to figure out a problem and you don't understand, you don't know what to do. I'd ask God for wisdom. In fact, when I was like 12, maybe 13, give or take a year or two, that I actually, for whatever, I don't know why, just reading the Bible, I decided to ask God for wisdom beyond my years. At 12 or 13, that was something that I claimed every day, for wisdom beyond my years. Now, why I do it, I don't even know. It was just something that came up on the inside of me one day, and I decided to make that a confession that I confessed every day. All right? And I think it's probably even more important than confessing, this is the day the Lord's made, I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it, because most people never rejoice and be glad in their day anyway. They just claim it in the morning time. Then they go down and cry with their kids, their wife, and everybody else. All right? Number two, trust God's timing. Remember that God works in his perfect timing. God's timing is not always your timing. It's not always your timing. And a lot of times that we don't really have good timing. A lot of times we wait, we try to do everything in our own strength. And then finally we said, we ask God at the last minute. A lot of times we know a bill is due, or we know that we have to make a payment, and so we'll try to work overtime, or we'll try to do this, we'll try to do that, and we wait till a week before it's due and says, maybe I should ask God. No, maybe you should ask God whenever you got the bill. A lot of times that our timing is not God's time, but sometimes, I don't know, it seems like we're afraid to ask for whatever reason. Do you realize that God's not going to say no? Why would you not ask him when this? God's a yes man. Or unless it's something that you shouldn't be doing, and you know what you shouldn't be doing, you're not going to ask God for things like that. But God's timing is not always our timing. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 in New Living says this, trust the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Sometimes you might not understand why you're making this decision or that decision, or it might not seem like the decision that you should do, but you feel peace about it. You feel like, I know some people that have looking for a job and they have two job opportunities. One pays more than the other, and they took the one that paid the less. And I don't know why I did that, but they felt peace. Don't lean to your own understanding. Sometimes you might, what you didn't realize is the one that paid less provided opportunities for you to make more, or maybe it was just an opportunity for you to be happy. Because there are sometimes that people work jobs and they're working a job and that might pay good, but they're not happy while they're doing it. If you're not happy while you're doing your job, it's pretty miserable. And then what usually happens is they end up changing jobs and then probably making less money than they would have made if they took the other job that would have made them more happy. The thing about it, here at our ministry, we want people that are not here just because they want a paycheck. We want people to work for us because they feel they're called to be here to help us do what God called us to do. We feel that working here is a calling and not necessarily just a paycheck. You know, not necessarily just even a stepping stone, because, you know, now a number of people started out in our mailroom, our great ministers today have great churches. And it happened to be a stepping stone. But you know what? If you treat your job like this, if this is the only job that God has for me for the rest of my life, I'm going to be happy and do it. You know, to His glory, I guarantee you, He'll promote you in due season. But it might not happen overnight. It might not happen overnight. I know there was one individual who worked for us. I'm not going to give his name because some people might know him for a long time. And it was like, he was always itching to get into his own ministry. And you know, and he tried to book meetings and nobody wanted to have him and all kinds of stuff. And he'd get mad and all these kind of things. Finally, he asked if he could talk to me. So we had this conversation. You know what he told me? He said, you know what? I'm going to stay here and I'm going to be satisfied working here at this ministry and doing what, you know, just to help this ministry fulfill the calling that, because I've decided, you know, I've been unhappy, you know, working here because I've been wanting to do something on my own, but you know what? It's never worked out. So I'm going to pour my heart into this ministry and to help you guys accomplish what God wants you guys to accomplish. And that's my new attitude. You know what? It was about a year, year and a half, and everybody started wanting him to come and preach for him. And then he had opportunity after opportunity. Next thing he did progress into his own ministry. You know, for a while, you know, he booked on weekends, and it got to a point where, you know, I'm being booked a lot, so it's really hard to work here and do that. And you know, it was better for him to leave. But you know what? It wasn't until he got to the point that, you know what? I'm just going to follow God. I'm just going to do what I need to do and let God promote me. And he did. You know, a lot of times it's because we're discontent that, you know, we can't move to what God has for us. But, you know, in change, sometimes we have to take small steps of faith, embrace change one step at a time, trusting that God is leading you forward. You know, he's leading us one step at a time. Sometimes it's like, God, what's my first step? Well, Peter's first step was to get out of the boat. And then it was to start walking. And as long as he focused in on Jesus, everything was great. It's whenever he began to look around, you know, and see the winds and waves. You know, sometimes when we take a step of faith, we take that first step and we stand there, you know, maybe it feels like we're walking on water, we're not a whole lot underneath us, and everything's fine, but then we start listening to other people, you know, I don't think you should do that. I mean, you know, I can't believe you're going to Bible school in the middle of nowhere. Why would you want to do that? You know, all these kind of things. We start looking, we start getting distracted. When you start getting distracted and get your eyes off Jesus, you're going to start to sink. But when you do, if you refocus on him, you're going to get through it each and every time. But he will lead you one step at a time, just one step at a time. Just say, God, what's my first step? And then once we take my first step, you know, I get it. I mean, I like having a 5-year plan and a 10-year plan and all those kind of things. But if my 5-year plan is not God's 5-year plan, what's it really matter? If my plan is not God's 10-year plan, what's it really matter? You know, and necessarily, I mean, obviously, the ministry we're, you know, have involved, and you know, we do have a plan to open more Bible schools and things like that, you know, and we like to hit some targets to how many. But as far as, you know, you ask me what's going to happen in the next 10 years, 25, I don't really know. We're just going to follow what God wants us to do, to go teach my people faith, you know, to try to get as many people saved, many people healed as we can. That's our plan. How are we going to do it? You know, we're going to use technology. Thank God, which I don't even use the screen much anymore anyway yet, because I just don't get the stuff to them. But anyway, you know, we wanted this. The screen was over $1 million whenever we first started wanting the screen. Mom wasn't willing. You know, she's willing to put a globe up. She didn't want to put a screen up. You know, and the reason for the screen really, for the most part, was for backdrops, because it makes it a whole lot easier to change backdrops. I mean, how'd you like, during the Christmas production, that was really nice to look at that screen and see that backdrop. It was pretty cool, you know, but it's there. All right, my last thing is, you know, stay in the communities. You know, surround yourself with others who encourage and support you during your journey of transformation. It's important to find people that will help you through the change. that will surround yourself. You know, remember the story about the man that they let down from the roof? Thank God he had four friends that were willing to take him up top of the roof. It wasn't an easy thing. It was, you know, and they're willing to rip the roof off to let this guy down to get healed. Those are the friends you need. You know, many of you know the story about O.J. Simpson. Not the great running back, but the story of his wife that got murdered and things like that. Remember the white Bronco chase? If you actually Google white Bronco, it'll bring up the O.J. Simpson story. One of his best friends, his name is Al Cowlings. Al Cowlings risked his life to help his friend. I mean, you know, he could gone to jail. You realize he drove a guy, you know, who was fleeing all these cops, you know. So I actually preached a message one time to Synergy. Who would drive your white Bronco? Do you have friends like that love you so much that they will help you through any season of life? Now, I'm not saying that they should keep you running from the cops, but you know, is there people? I mean, that's a friend. That guy was a friend, because if it wasn't for Al Cowlings, he probably would have committed suicide or something like that, or done something stupid. You know, thank God, you know, for friends like that. And so, you know what? You know, you should look for a friend that would be willing to drive your white Bronco. And if you don't know anything about it, because you're young, Google it. All right, in conclusion, change is never easy, but it's necessary for growth and transformation. Through his word, God reminds us that he is with us in every season of change, equipping us with his strength and guiding us toward his purpose. As we face change, let us hold on to his promise, trust his plans, embrace new life he is creating within us. Remember the words of Philippians 1:6, which I didn't give him the scripture, sorry. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Let's move forward with faith, knowing that God is making all things new. You know what, as we roll into 2025, realizing that we might have to have some changes in life, you know, in order to progress, but God's going to be with us. If we go through a season that seems like it's a tough season, God's still with us. Embrace the change, be willing to do it, and God will bring about a great harvest. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for each and every person that's here in this room. Father God, we just thank you for this new year. And as we enter this new year, we know that there'll be changes in life, some small, some big, but you'll be with us during every season of life. You'll be with us during the tough times, during the good times, and you have a plan and a purpose for us, and we will fulfill that plan, that we will fulfill that purpose. But Father God, today, with heads bowed and eyes closed, there is no better time to start this new year off right than accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Maybe there's someone here today that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. If you're here today and don't know him, you're not saved, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. We want to make sure that you start out 2025 with Jesus Christ in your heart. If that's you, lift your hand. Don't be embarrassed. Or maybe you're here and you say, Craig, I don't know whether I've ever accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. You know, you can live in a garage and not become a car. You can come to church and not be a Christian. You have to have what my grandfather calls a know-so experience. You know that you ask him into your heart. So if that's you and you don't know it, I want you to know it today. Lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Or maybe you're here and you say, Craig, I want to rededicate my life to God publicly. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you across this auditorium. There's no better time than to make this change before the new year. It'd be the most radical and best change you can ever have in life is to accept Jesus Christ. I don't see any hands. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now for each and every person that's here in this room and watching online. And Father God, if there's someone there that needs to be saved, we thank you, Father, for sending laborers across our path on a daily basis. And we thank you, Father, that they will be saved. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Well, let's all stand up. Praise God. Once again, you know, we don't have service tonight. We also don't have service on Wednesday night. All right, so this is the last service of 2024. And like Denise said, you know, I know a lot of people like to give gifts, but because I've heard people say, well, I'd rather make a donation than give it to Uncle Sam. All right. So we can send it to Ukraine or something like that. Anyway, so, you know, you can always text to give at any point in time, or you can go online to rainbowbiblechurch.com/give and give that way as well. If you're a first-time visitor, we're glad to have you today. The connection team is in the aisle. They have some stuff for you if you'll just follow them. The pastors are headed to the door. You can look on the screen to see where everybody is headed. God bless you, and we'll see you next year.